It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
8 o'clock hour, it's 97.1. We've got Greg Palm coming up at 8:35. A check-in on the college football rankings from the brain of Greg Hargrave. Michigan, Notre Dame, both with losses. They got to move out. Who's moving in? Any movement in the top five? We'll find out. Talk a little Michigan football. Mm-hmm. Plenty of Lions to discuss as well, John. We're very excited about the start. I know the game wasn't perfect, but I loved seeing that overtime where they kind of reestablished that identity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was big boy football. That was black and blue division. That was, okay, enough's enough. We got a bedtime. Now let's make sure we get to bed on time.
And I was looking back through it, and like uncharacteristic struggles for the passing game. Like I went back through, and outside of JMO, they had 96 passing yards. Mm-hmm. They were 0 of 8 on third down passes if you take out JMO's one big 52-yard play. So like, I don't expect that to be the norm. Goff's going to get in rhythm with St. Brown. Laporta's going to be a third down safety valve. They're going to get that going. But that because they didn't, it made it for a more tense game than I think anybody wanted on Sunday night.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was exciting.
Oh, I know.
And the payoff was that the Lions won. And in dramatic fashion and in a power style, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better outcome. And the fact that in overtime, you win the coin flip, you get the ball, and you never surrender possession of the football.
No, it was
beautiful.
Exactly what we wanted to see. Let's get to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Dan, we were just gushing about that overtime statement drive. I know it's new season, stuff doesn't always carry over, but identity looks like it did. How are you feeling? Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, good. It was, anytime you win in this league, man, it's a good win. And you'll take it. Ultimately, it wasn't the cleanest game. We did what we had to do. But to your point, just to know that, you feel like you've improved in some areas. You are more talented. Players are more developed. But you always need to make sure you never lost your identity and that what we're about is always there. And I think that showed up in a big way. And that always is going to make me feel good.
What was a two-part question here. What was the one thing that you liked the most, that you did the best in that game against, not you personally, but your team did the best against the Rams, and what was the one thing you look at and say, that's not championship football?
Well, look, I thought we, for the most part, I thought we ran the ball pretty well, man. We were pretty efficient. Mm-hmm. Up front. We were very efficient, as a matter of fact, in a run game. And I'm talking about first, second, third, and fourth down. So that was something that was one of the best we've had here in 4 years. And I thought on the defensive side, we shut down the run game. Now, they hit a couple of perimeter runs. They put a couple of wrinkles in there. But ultimately, we took them out of what they wanted to do. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I think the downside, which, listen, I told the team, I told the coaches, we talked about it. Just those two games before we played, the Thursday night game, the Friday night game, every year though, more teams more games are lost than they are won. And the amount of mistakes, and I'm not talking about technique, wrong foot here, missed with his hand. I'm talking about blatant like errors, like, man, we're not targeted right. Wait, you're going there, I'm going here. The drop balls, the egregious, ball security, just thing after thing after thing. And ultimately, we were not good enough there, and we have to clean it up. But yet, man, relative to the big picture, we were not as bad as you think we were. So that's encouraging.
What was your assessment of the passing game? Looked like some of those third downs out of sync. I don't know if it was the Rams or something that you guys need to clean up, but what was your read?
Well, Listen, the passing game, it's a little bit, it's always going to be the last to come. You know, it the precision of your pass game is the hardest thing to really find a rhythm in, you know, because everybody has to be on the same page. And that's from, you know, obviously the timing of the quarterback, the receivers, you know, the timing, the protection, holding up long enough. And so there's so many moving parts that are in that. It's the last thing that really comes. So, you know, of course we wanted it to be better, but I'm also not that surprised that we were off on a little bit. And look, inevitably what happens, man, first game out, first real game, now everywhere, man, we're flying. You know, you're excited, I'm about to go make some plays, and then all of a sudden I'm short on a route. Or I'm supposed to get my depth at 5 yards, you know, I'm running across the field here. And man, I look up and I'm only 2 yards deep. And, you know, it affects everything. And then, you know, quarterback, he gets off on a couple of things or progresses too fast you know, there's just these little things that go in, and one thing affects the other too. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. When you're expected to be somewhere or do what you're supposed to do and then you don't, then in the back of your head, you lose trust. There's just a little bit of that, okay, well, then maybe I need to help out a little bit more, and then the player next to you corrects his problem. Well, you're trying to like help him, and then you screw yourself, and now all of a sudden you get in a bad way. So it's all those little things that come with, man, the excitement of a first game, cleaning some things up, and look, we're going to be so much better next week collectively, but so should all teams. You know, Tampa will be better.
When you look at, because there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on a first round pick, how would you evaluate the first performance by Terrion Arnold?
I liked his performance. I was encouraged by his performance, and because really I never felt like in that game at all. I'm like, man, I'm worried about Terrion. You know, I hope he holds up. You know, it's his first game. That never even crossed my mind. He was honestly the least of my concerns, which that's a good thing for a rookie. Mm-hmm. I thought he went over there and competed. I think obviously it's not too big for him. I think he is the same guy on every play, win or loss or whatever it is, which, I love the heck out of that. You talk about getting to the next play, just move on. He's all about that. So I thought it was a good outing for him. There's things he's got to clean up, and he will clean up, but he's only going to get better and better. So, yeah, I thought it was a positive outing for him first game out.
Coaching points on the PI calls, or you just don't want to take that aggressiveness out of him?
No, I mean, I'm not that concerned. I think there'll be a little bit of, all right, man, you can feel it now, ball in the air, so just – trying to get your head around a little bit to find it and continue to do what you're doing, playing aggressively, and that'll take care of that. You know, if they feel like you're playing the ball a little bit more and you're covering the way you are, they probably aren't going to throw that. So, well, those will be some coaching points to it, but certainly I don't want to take away his aggressiveness, man. We play defense a certain way here, and we're going to be aggressive, but we'll just tweak some of his technique, that's all.
When you have an overtime like you do and you hand the ball to David Montgomery and you have so much success, hindsight's 20/20, everybody always says, well, why didn't they do that more in regulation? What goes into the decision of when to use Jahmyr Gibbs versus when to use David Montgomery?
Well, I think, you know, the first game out, you got them tagged, and there's things that you want to use for really both of them. And then on top of that, you want to make sure that you're trying to take care of both of them, being that it's the first game. And you want to spread that load a little bit. And so there'll be these, you know, specialty things for both of them, really, that are in and out. And then one of them will major in a series. And so, you know, we start the game that way. And, you know, we popped a couple of things there. You know, we had a couple of runs, but we never really broke anything big. They were efficient and, you know, they were good, but it never really blew open the door during the game. Now, what hurts there is when you have as many three and outs as we did, It's one thing to not have success and have to punt, but the three and outs are a killer because now you can't get in a rhythm. You know, and so you're like, well, man, why don't you keep running the ball? Well, we never really could get to the next first down to do that. Well, why not get St. Brown the ball? Because we could never really get to a conversion. You know, we try, and you're a little bit short. And so that's the big thing is third down was the story of this game on offense. I mean, that was one of the first questions you asked. Third down's got to be better for us offensively. Once we convert, man, now we're cooking. We're on to the next sequence, and now you're putting it in the ball, putting the ball in the hands of your playmakers, and Goff's getting on fire. He gets in a rhythm. You continue to use the run game, and then you're on to the next one and on to the next one. And so that was really the story of the game offensively is too many three and outs.
Looking on the defensive side, we're talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell. The pass rush, when they're down two tackles going in, they lose two guys in game. I think everybody wants to see big sack totals. How did you evaluate the job that you guys did up front getting to the quarterback?
You could put two high school tackles out there, and we weren't going to get to the quarterback as fast as he was throwing this ball. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that ball came out in a hurry. If you look at the game and when he held the ball at any time significantly, we were beating these tackles. It wasn't about that. I mean, the sacks and everything else, man, I give Stafford credit, man. He played fast. He played efficient. You know, they adjusted pretty quickly to what type of game it was. And the good news is we made them one-dimensional for the most part. And they knew they couldn't hold it, and they had to get the ball out. And they did a good job over there, you know. But I think what we've got up front can be special. I really do. Hutch and Davenport on the perimeter, I think they complement each other very well. I think you can see the power and length and the ability they both have. But then when you're talking about up the middle now with Mack and Levi and, you know, we'll get Reeder back here. I mean, we can – you talk about pushing the pocket and creating chaos in there and destruction. We have that ability up front.
You mentioned DJ Reeder. Is that the expectation that he'll play this week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much, not only in terms of talent, but to be able to rotate those guys, keep them fresh, and so that when you get to the third and fourth quarter, you don't end up like the Rams did, where they just seem to be overwhelmed. How important is that depth as well as the performance that you expect to get from DJ Reeder?
Yeah, that'll be a big thing, too. You know, that's going to be important is, you know, how do you get the most production out of them, but yet don't wear them down to where those plays they are playing are – and those are high-level plays. Their gas tank is about as close to full as you can get. You know, and that's the trick. We defensively played 78 plays. I mean, that's a lot of plays, and especially for the first game out. So, you know, you got to be able to rotate there to keep guys fresh. But the good news is we've got depth and. You know, we got some guys, multiple guys, that can help us in the run and in the pass game there up front, and we're going to use them.
Lions head coach Dan Campbell, we check in every week. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good talking to you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
It's 97.1.
And the awards just keep rolling in for Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration. He just won the Macomb Daily's Reader Choice Award for 2024's Best of the Best Plastic Surgeon. So congrats to him. And how incredible is it that Dr. B is right here in Metro Detroit, making it easy to restore your hair by the very best. If you've been thinking about going to see him, you got to do it now. He'll have you looking younger and feeling more confident with a thicker head of hair. And the sooner you go to see him, the more options you have. Dr. B has so many more options than just a hair transplant. He's got the most advanced medical therapies and natural pathways to stop your hair loss and improve thickness. And these therapies just keep getting better and better results for his patients. With treatment plans that fit almost every budget, Dr. B will create a custom plan just for you, and he guarantees all of his treatments. So call today, mention 97.1, and you'll receive a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment at your consultation, and that's valued at $1,000. For more information and to schedule your consult, go to MichiganHairRestoration.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, because it was bugging me. I did want to go back and check the Skubal starts. And yeah. it's important that he plays four more times in the final 18 games.
Well, and it's not just that he does play four more times. It's that you get him against the tougher teams.
So as it sets up right now, he's going to throw the 12th, which is Thursday. He could then throw the 17th or 18th. ESPN has him on the 18th. Either way, those are both Royals starts. 5 days later would be the 24th because there's an off day in there against Tampa, and then he'd pitch the final game of the season against the Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure we're accurate here. I don't want him to miss out on a start. And to your point, you want to make sure he's throwing in the most pivotal games.
Right.
And that last one might be. But you also want to make sure you get him against Baltimore, which I think, according to this, he wouldn't pitch against Baltimore.
No, but if you don't bump him up to the 11th.
Which is what you were saying, is bump him up to the 11th, which then gives you the chance to throw him earlier.
Yes. And you would get him against Baltimore, and then again, one more time against the Sox.
Yeah. All right, we had Dan Campbell on. What'd you take away?
I mean, it's nothing surprising. I think they are going to continue to figure out this offense. I do expect the passing game to be much better. They're going to find more ways to get Amon-Ra St. Brown the ball. And hey, defenses are going to look at it and go, yeah, okay, we're going to take away Amon-Ra St. Brown. So instead of forcing it to him, they can force it to J-Mo. They can force it to Laporta. They can force it to Gibbs. They can. There's a lot of different guys, and I say force it. They can throw the ball to a lot of different weapons. Because you look at some of these offenses, well, Cooper Kupp, why did he have 22 targets? They are forcing it to him because Puka Nacua went down, and they have other receivers that they're spreading the ball around, but they threw the ball 49 times. Half the time they threw it to Cooper Kupp. The Lions have a roster that's built that you don't have to do that for any individual guy.
They're built to convert a lot of those third downs, which is why it was jarring when I went back and charted it, and they were 1 of 9 on passing third downs. The one was a touchdown, 52 yards to J-Mo, but you would think they will convert more of those as the season goes on. Dan saying it's the last thing to kind of click as you get back to the season. The pass rush was an interesting quote where he thinks they're going to be very dangerous. He said if they had high school tackles, it wouldn't have made a difference. Stafford was getting the ball out so quick.
Yeah.
They did miss a chance to maybe wrap up here or there, but overall, you want to apply pressure to the quarterback. Pressure is what helped them force a red zone interception. It's what forced them to get backed up via penalty when they got down to the one. The pressures, it's that fine line where we agree sacks are the best, but pressures ain't bad either, and it sounds like he is not at all concerned about their ability to get home this season.
No, and I mean, when you have a guy like Aiden Hutchinson who has 5 QB hits, and you're looking at, I'm sorry, this I'm looking at the at
he had 11 the, pressures.
Yeah, he had 11 pressures. I was looking at the playoff one. I had the wrong one pulled up here. but when you're looking at, you know, when you look at the team stats and you look at the box score and you say, okay, well, you know, who was applying pressure? Aiden Hutchinson was applying regular pressure. When you look at Marcus Davenport, he was applying regular pressure. And yeah, there is one where Stafford got out of a sack from Hutch. There was one where he got out of a sack from Davenport.
Could have been a 4-sack day.
It could have been. And that's on a day when they are getting the ball out so quickly. Yeah. I know everybody wants more quarterback hits and want more sacks. Sometimes it's just not possible because that ball is in the quarterback's hands and out. Now, that only happens when you have an experienced quarterback like a Matthew Stafford.
To the point, though, they could have had 2 more sacks.
They could have had 2 more sacks, yes. But then you start looking at you know the schedule and you say, okay, well, with the Buccaneers, you got a little bit of a experienced quarterback there.
Yes.
Same with the Cardinals. Now you start working down the list. I don't think Dak, when they play the Cowboys, he's not a guy that wants to get the ball out quick or will get the ball out quick. He's a little bit overconfident in his ability to extend plays. So you can start to get home against some of these other teams.
Bring it on. All right, let's get to Heather in the news.
You guys, the tragic story of NHL star Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew's death just keeps getting more devastating and more devastating. So during their funeral services on Monday, Johnny's widow, Meredith, made the announcement that she is expecting their third child.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This story, at every turn, it just gets sadder.
It really does. So the people who were there knew that Matthew's widow was expecting their first child together, right? That was news everybody knew, which is devastating, right? But nobody knew that Meredith was expecting their third child. She announced that she was 9 weeks pregnant. Yeah. She's looking at it as like an ultimate blessing, right? That she is going to have another piece of him with her, but it's still just so sad when you find out all of these little pieces that go into the story. A woman was taken into custody after crashing her vehicle into a Detroit apartment building on Monday morning. The woman who lives in the apartment where this vehicle crashed had just gotten home from work about 15 minutes before. She says she was in the bathroom when the crash happened, heard this loud boom, ran outside, spotted the driver kind of stumbling out of the vehicle. The driver appeared to be intoxicated, tried to walk away from the scene, but the driver was taken into custody right there. And the woman whose apartment was smashed into is now looking for a new place to live. She's got to buy new furnishings for the room that was hit. Lots going on. The police still haven't said exactly what caused the crash. Tom Brady made his broadcasting debut as part of Fox's coverage of the Week 1 game between the Dallas Cowboys and Cleveland Browns. And of course, social media had plenty to say about it. So his performance drew some mixed reviews. Some people were saying that he just wasn't that great. There were some awkward silences, some obvious commentating, someone said. Someone also said he looked uncomfortable. He sounded nervous, sounded unsure. And then there's other people that said, you know what? He had a solid start. He got more comfortable as the game went on. What'd you guys think?
That was okay. Nothing to blow your doors off. I wanted more analysis, I think, and maybe a little bit more energy.
Yeah, so I was doing the Lions pregame show, so I didn't hear it, but I've seen the reviews, and like clearly a guy's going to get better from his first broadcast. I mean, you know, think about when I was doing college radio. The difference was I wasn't making $300 million the way Brady is, and I think that's the pressure here is you're Fox lead analyst. You displaced a really likable guy in Greg Olson, and for the first week, the reviews are you weren't as funny, you didn't break the game down, you didn't tap us into watching football with Tom Brady, which was the selling point.
Right. I don't think funny is really his thing. But I do think being able to analyze a defense instantly is where he brings, should be bringing true value.
Yeah.
Yeah. James Earl Jones passed away on Monday morning at the age of 93 years old. He's going to be remembered as having one of Hollywood's most, you know, instantly recognizable voices for his role, obviously, as Darth Vader in Star Wars, Mufasa in The Lion King. He was surrounded by his family at his home in upstate New York, and tributes just started pouring in online after his death was announced. Mark Hamill said, RIP Dad. Kevin Costner, who starred along with him in Field of Dreams, also posted a really nice tribute, expressed gratitude for the opportunity to work with Jones, and so many other people, of course, made nice tributes online.
John, what's the most iconic James Earl Jones thing? Is it Star Wars?
Well, it's got to be Darth Vader's voice. Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, so if you're in the big house, yes, he's the one that welcomes the fans to the stadium, and it's iconic for Michigan faithful that go, but it's got to be Darth Vader's voice. I'm partial to the baseball movie, Field of Dreams.
Oh, he was, yes.
Field of Dreams.
Like,
because, I mean, I love that one.
If you build it, they will come.
Teddy has watched The Sandlot 1,000 times if he's watched it once. So, love that one as well.
The reality is there's so many A-level choices. Yes.
Yep.
And that's Heather with the news. All right, we got Greg Palm coming up next. Michigan and Notre Dame with losses last week. Who's in the top 12? It's 97.1.
You've heard me talk about injury attorney David Femenino a number of times, and for a while now. Just listen to some of the results that David and his team have been able to get for their injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, $11.5 million for their clients. You need an attorney that will fight relentlessly for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to the website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
If you're jumping in the car, hanging out with us today, good morning. We have a lot to get to still. Dan Campbell, 9:35. If you missed it, Odyssey Rewind if you're impatient. We'll talk a little Tigers. If you wake up today, you'll notice we're in a playoff race. It's three games. And I know it's four because the Twins have the tiebreaker, but have a little fun. It's three games on the standings. Mm-hmm. Our very own John Jansen has curated a plan, the Jansen plan.
Got it.
To put the team in the best position to make the playoffs. We'll get to that in the 9 o'clock hour.
And success in the playoffs.
Let's not get carried away. Michigan football. Okay, we didn't spend a lot of time on Monday talking about the Wolverines. We sprinkled them in. I mean, it's a big top 10 matchup with Texas. Monday was about the Lions. Today, we should give the Wolverines a little more time. And John, my question to you and to Wolverine fans, how many wins do they finish with? And what's the biggest issue this team is currently facing? 248-539-9797. As I sit here today, I think they're an 8-win football team. I feel like they missed opportunities to upgrade the quarterback position. And understanding that, the defense has to be not good, great. I don't think they're great. I think it's the combination that ultimately limits this team to 8 wins.
If you're taking the performance that they had against Fresno State and against Texas, which is all we have to go on,
yep.
That is your record is what you say, you know, your record is, whatever the quote goes.
Yeah, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah. If you are what your record says you are, then you're 6-6 because they're 1-1.
But I happen to think
in terms of performance, do you think that performance that you saw against Texas, because it's really hard to tell against Fresno State, even though Fresno State is a good team, they're not on the level that Michigan should be. So if you're going off of the performance against Texas, was that performance good enough to beat USC?
No.
Was it good enough to beat Oregon?
I don't think so, no.
Was it good enough to beat Ohio State?
No. So there's your four losses.
So there's your four losses.
Yeah.
Then at best, they're an 8-4 team.
They're going to need their offensive line to beef up. They're going to need to beat up on either Oregon or USC's offensive line. Like, this defensive line is going to have to play better if they're going to steal one of those games and get to 9 or 10.
So let's go to the defense then. If you have, where do you think, you know, where do you think Will Johnson will be drafted?
Top 15 conservatively. Depends on need. I could see a top 10.
Okay. First round pick.
Yeah.
Mason Graham.
First round pick, yeah.
Kenneth Grant.
Probably a first round pick.
Probably, yeah. I mean, depending on
not
performance.
Not as unanimous as the other two,
right.
But yeah.
Colson Loveland. Not on defense, but.
Yeah, again.
Team need, but probably the number one tight off the board.
Yeah, whenever that is. That may be late first, early second,
right.
Sure.
So you have potential for four first round picks on a team right now that is underperforming, underwhelming. Let's just say underwhelming. Not, I don't know if we could say underperforming right now. They're probably performing to their level. But defensively, if you have three guys out of 11 that are supposed to be first-round talents, how do you get overwhelmed that way? And then throw in Jayshon Barham.
Yeah, good linebacker.
All right. You're talking about guys that are going to be day one or day two picks. And so I say that in regards to the defense got overwhelmed by Texas's offense. And I don't want to take anything away from Texas. Texas is a very good team. That offensive line, especially their left tackle, very good. Quinn Ewers has put himself as the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, and we saw exactly why. He's really good. You're going to have to be able to stand up and be counted defensively and keep the offense in games and then hope that the offense finds an identity. What's the identity of this offense? They have none.
Yeah, they don't have one.
They don't have one. Are they physical? No.
Eh.
So that's a no.
Do they have any explosive plays from the passing game?
Do they have any explosive plays in the run game?
No.
No. So you have to find some sort of identity, and whether it's against Arkansas State, again, it's not a measuring stick. It's a chance to find what are the two or three runs that we can develop confidence in that we know this offensive line can block with their eyes closed and gain 3 or 4 yards. Because you've got to limit the three and outs, especially to start a game. You start off with the script and you say, these are our plays. These are our best plays. We have all the confidence in the world that we're going to gain yardage. And first of all, don't jump off sides on play one. But you also have to know what you can count on. In the pass game, What can we protect against any look? Maybe it's a max protection. Maybe it's the rollout like they had to Colston Loveland. Get the quarterback outside the pocket. Give him a little extra time. Give him a clear view of the field and to be able to deliver the ball and pick up positive yards. Like, you've got to find what those plays are.
John, I said 8 wins. There are ticket texters who are fighting that. Texter says they're not going to Bloomington and beating Indiana this season. Another one says, what are we talking about? They'll be lucky to beat MSU. Michigan does not have a quarterback.
The quarterback's going to take all the bullets. Is the quarterback great? No. But if you can't, is this program supposed to be built on running the football? Is that what Sharon Moore believes in?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to find a way to run the ball. And if you can't, you're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. And will you be able to beat some team simply because you're supposed to have more talent? I mean, that's why I said when you said 8-4, that is, that's the best you can do. And then you face a Michigan State team in a rivalry game that's coming in here going, you know what? We're starting to find our identity. Michigan doesn't have theirs. How does that game play out?
I think the only way they can get the 9-3, I think you'll be able to tell in the USC game if they can salvage their season and be 9-3, which was the most likely or most predicted outcome, I think, this year. If you
going into
collected
the season,
all predictions, that's what people thought they'd be. But I think you'll be able to tell, like, cosmetically by the USC game. You know, I mean, I do think this thing has a chance to maybe go off the rails because of the quarterback situation. I think the defense, I overrated them. I thought that they could be one of the best in the country, if not the best. And they're not. I think they can play better together and that they'll be better from here on out. But you've got to still have some offense because you just become crummy Iowa if you have no offense.
Right.
And in this schedule,
that's the key.
You can't dumb up a 9-3 like Iowa does.
When Iowa bubbles to the surface, it normally correlates with a soft schedule. When they were in the Big Ten West and they'd avoid, you know, one of the bigger brands of the East, they'd find their way into a 9 or even a 10 win season. But if Iowa had to play in the Big Ten East back in the day, they would never have won 9 games. And Michigan's playing a schedule that's daunting. I mean,
if Michigan had the schedule they had last year, could they get to the Penn State game and be undefeated? Possibly.
Maybe, yeah.
And then find a rhythm, find an identity along the way. Sure. But that's last year's schedule. We don't have that now. And you had Texas. Now you have an opportunity against USC. You'll have an opportunity against Oregon. And you want to make sure that those are the ones that you're calling opportunities, not Indiana.
Last year's schedule, but with this year's team, I wouldn't lock in the Michigan State game right now.
I'm not locking it in. No.
You know, and that's who would have thought we would have been asking that? And even that question just last week, and some of that's kudos to Michigan State.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. But there's a real spark in East Lansing. I don't want to get too carried away, but there's a real spark. I mean, with Aiden Childs and some of the throws he can make, they are NFL throws for an 18-year-old. That gives you a spark. You go on the road and beat a team that you're touchdown underdogs against, that's a spark. That's something to build on.
Exactly.
They're not a gimme on the schedule for Michigan.
I mean, I'm just so frustrated right now that this is what we're dealing with the quarterback situation when you're coming off a national championship. They absolutely had zero capitalization on winning a national title. Usually you get some extra bang from that.
Well, that's what's so frustrating is I think a step back was expected by everybody. Nobody thought they were the national champions this season.
Last national champion to fall off like this.
I was going to say, but a fall off, we're talking 8 wins. Do you know who is it?
Greg said LSU. But yeah, we had COVID,
19
right?
19-20. Yeah. Sure, but you also had...
Coach get fired?
No. I mean, are you talking Ed O?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was... Yeah. You also had Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase.
Lost two wide receivers. You lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Joe Burrow, both
offensive
coordinators.
Line. Yeah. I mean, look...
They missed a lot of talent. Just like Michigan did.
And what I'm asking is, what happened to Ed Orgeron after that season? He was on the hot seat, and he didn't last very long.
Correct.
So, I mean, Sharon...
Are you putting Sharon on the hot seat now?
I'm not doing the strikes routine. I just think if you're promoting from within, you expect better than this. I think that's fair to say. No one is talking firing a coach two games in. I'm not going to do, I'm sure Twitter, some guy is, but I don't feel like that's appropriate yet.
So does this all mean Brian Kelly's Michigan's next coach? Family.
Yeah, I think that's what I keep going back to. Some drop-off is expected, but if they're not going to run the ball, John, to your point, if they're not going to be physical up front, why did we promote the offensive line coach? If you're a Michigan fan, you ask that question. Why did we promote this guy from within the staff if we don't have a better level of continuity from the program? And defensively, there's no excuse. The talent's there. There's no excuse for them not to overwhelm a USC or an Oregon with their front. But if you can't score, if those games end up in the teens, those teams are going to pop a big play or two, and if you can't keep up, you're going to lose every single one of your big games.
And so I'll give you what needs to happen when we give it.
Oh, look at this. Radio tease, John Jansen. Fix all the problems.
Yes.
One wave of the magic wand.
Within 5 minutes.
After one sports update, John fixes Michigan's program. We'll get to the Jansen plan that I want to co-sign on. You came up with the idea, but I want to co-sign this plan for the Tigers now that we are in a playoff race. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour as well. It's 97.1.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.